Hello, welcome to the Fine Late to Fine Late podcast. Hello, my name's Nico.
And I am Jimmy. Today we're going to be discussing the Ashes series, reviewing that, and also previewing the upcoming One Day Cup.
Yeah, which is newly named the Marsh One Day Cup.
Marsh.
All right, so we are going to...
Let's kick it off with some fines. We'll get them out of the way.
All right, cool. So what are you going to start off with, Jimmy?
You kick it off with the drop catches, I would have thought. Nico, you've got them.
All right, cool. So we have... These are $2 fines. Sorry, $2 to Siddle, Payne, Burns, Smith. I had Smith twice, but he did take an absolute screamer, so it's just down to one.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And Root, Leach, Harris... And so they're all the $2
That's
fines.
A ridiculous amount of drop catches.
I know, it's absolutely shocking. And $5 to the each and every umpire that umpired during the whole series.
Yeah, that's,
that was
that's
absolutely
fair.
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible performance. And Cummins and Wokes for overstepping in the last game.
Yeah, $5 each.
Yeah, $5 each. Cool. And I have another fine. The ICC for having a complicated qualification scheme.
For the World Cup.
Yes, for the upcoming T20 World Cup.
Oh, it's very, very tricky.
It is very tricky.
Especially when there's only 10 teams.
Yeah, because it's like you got your Super League and you've got your little tiny countries like your America, Canada,
yeah,
Nepal.
It's just stupid.
It's really stupid.
All right, we'll kick off our... series review for the Ashes with our likes and dislikes, I think.
Yep.
We'll also be doing likes and dislikes for the match as well.
Yeah.
Just a few. I think the like we've got to kick it off with is Stephen Smith.
Yes. Definitely.
Oh, there were questions over whether he'd get back to his best, and he got better.
Yeah.
He got that much better. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. 700 runs, something like that. Average of 115, something around that.
120-odd. But it was unfortunate, though, him making, what was it, like 10 or 11 in the last innings?
Yeah.
But I did read a statistic that he averages only about 20 to 30 runs in the fourth innings of a test match.
Yeah, so Smithy, got to improve, buddy.
Yeah, got to improve, me. Come on.
Patrick Cummins, best bowler in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Australia now have the best batsman and best bowlers in test cricket. And Pat Cummins, he was sensational this series.
He was. He was the go-to man. Just chuck on the ball. He'll get you one or two.
Mm. Wadey, this is a match-like. Yep. He's back into form. Hit a very good ton when Australia needed it.
We had our backs against the wall and he just comes out and...
Had a good fight with Joffre, actually. It was good to watch.
Yeah.
Marnus Labuschagne for the series.
Yep.
Didn't play every game. Sort of, he missed the first game and wouldn't have even got in if Steve Smith hadn't been hit by Joffre.
Yeah, bloody Joffre.
But he came in, he took his opportunities, three consecutive 50s and a clutch wicket when Tim Payne threw him the ball at Old Trafford.
Yeah, that's it.
And retained the Ashes for us.
Yeah. I have a like for me. This is from England. I think Jack Leach. Jack Leach was pretty good, although very annoying for us Aussies because he would just bat and bat and bat and it's just like, can you get out, you dickhead?
Yeah. This might be a bit controversial, but I as a fellow fast bowler, I love the way Stuart Broad bowled throughout this series. Although David Warner was incompetent with the bat this series, I think he was brilliant. Got inside his head and was just dominant against left-handers. Seamed the ball around and looked threatening all the time.
Although he was just acting like an absolute sook every time the ball would miss the bat. It's like, oh no, mate.
I'm not saying I like him as a person, but I'm saying I like the way he played.
Now, our dislikes for the series, I'll kick it
off. I've got one more like, actually, Nico. For the match, Sam Curran, I did call this last week on the podcast.
Yes.
Get him in, and he might cause Steve Smith some trouble, and he did.
And Steve Smith did
it was
have
a
the
different
flu.
Option.
He did have the flu that game, so
I'll
give him credit where credit's due.
Oh, well.
Sam Curran did do really well.
Sam Curran, yes, did like him.
I'm Looked surprised good. He didn't play in the first test.
Like he should have played in all the tests.
Yeah. Now, our dislikes, I'm going to kick it off with the weather, of course, except for the last test where it was perfect sunny.
We didn't miss any play.
Yeah.
I think in every other test match we did miss something, though, which was a bit disappointing.
Yeah. Another dislike are the Aussie openers, as we said with David Warner, just struggling against Stuart Broad.
Warner, Harris and Bancroft all failed.
Yeah.
I don't think... What was the highest? first wicket partnership.
18 or something.
18, yeah. Which was in the final innings, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
When David Warner made it to double figures for the second time in 10 innings.
Appalling. And a dislike I had for the game, and maybe the last two games, Peter Siddle.
Yeah. He was good in the first test. He was economical, looked all right, but he was all over the place in his next two matches. He was in and out of the team, but couldn't nail down a spot.
Yeah.
And didn't look threatening at all in the last test. And probably let us down a little bit there.
Sure. I have DRS decisions as...
from Tim Payne.
Yeah, especially from Tim Payne. I have a little statistic. He's gotten 5 out of 35 reviews correct.
He says he's having a mare, but I think he just needs to get better, to be honest.
Well, he did joke about taking an umpiring course.
Yes.
He does need to do that, although he said it was a joke. Yeah, although he said
it as a joke. I reckon he should do it, actually. Yeah. Dislike, same as all Australians, Joffre Archer. Yep. This is from early in the series when he hit Smith, just turned around and laughed. It's poor form from a bloke who's played one test. Or at the time had played one test.
Now, Jimmy, what was your player of the series? But we can't choose Steve Smith, obviously.
Because that's kind of obvious. So we're going to choose a player. Mine, I think it has to be Pat Cummins.
Cummins?
To be honest, yeah.
Mine is Labuschagne. Just because came from pretty much out of nowhere. He was a substitute batsman.
Yep.
And just comes out and almost lights the world on fire. Although he was unlucky to...
And he was a genuine like-for-like replacement for Smith. He made runs. He was the only Australian to make runs, so...
And he has his own little technique as well.
He does. He's starting to become Steve Smith with a few of his leaves there. Like the way he goes about it.
Hmm.
All right, we have made a team of the series for the Ashes. This is a combined 11. It is very similar to the one on the cricket.com.au released.
Is it? Oh,
okay. I think there's only one player different, but it was a pretty easy team to make, to be honest.
Yeah.
So kicking off, opening the batting, obviously Australia's openers were shocking. So Burns and Denley open the batting in this team. At number three, we have Labuschagne. Yeah. Root was a little bit disappointing for England, and Marnus stood up.
He didn't make a ton.
Neither did Marnus, but Root.
But Marnus showed some promise, whereas Root looked all over the shop a lot.
Yeah.
Especially
for an experienced batsman that was the number one ranked Test batsman at the start of the series.
Was he?
I think he was.
Jesus.
I know. That was ridiculous. Number four, Steve Smith, easy pick there. Number five, Ben Stokes, heroics at Headingley. They get him into the team.
Making it for Australia, but that's okay.
Number six, Matthew Wade. Made a couple of tons.
Yeah, 2 tons, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Bairstow and Butler didn't do enough to get in here. So Tim Payne takes out the number seven spot and wicketkeeper. He made 150?
150, yeah, I think.
150. But
probably a bit disappointing.
This was hard. Yeah, Butler could have gone in here, but I'm going to pick Tim Payne.
Yeah, just because it's Australian.
Yeah. Number eight, Patrick Cummins. We've been through that. Yeah. He was sensational.
Yeah.
Number nine, Stuart Broad. We're not putting Joffre in. I think he was a little bit too inconsistent to make this team. Cricket Australia did put them in their team of the week, team of the series. Sorry.
Yeah.
And
we got Gaz.
Who they didn't put in. They didn't put a spinner in, which I think is just...
Stupid.
Stupid.
Very stupid.
So Gaz was a little bit better than Leachy, I thought.
Yeah. I was really happy with... I reckon Gaz is now back. He's kind of shaken off all the...
Yeah, he was spinning the ball a lot better.
Yeah.
In the oval.
Yeah.
And Josh Hazlewood, who lit the world on fire when he came back in. Well, missed first test and looked threatening all the time.
I was a bit disappointed though with him when particularly Butler and Stokes in the third test, when they were just going off and teeing off, he was just putting it, he wasn't changing it up or anything, he just put it in the one spot where they could just hit it all the time.
I think Pat Cummins did that a little bit in the last test where Butler was just teeing off and Cummins just kept bowling short at him instead of bowling
and Broad full. And Broad as well, I think.
Oh, was it Broad? That's right. Broad. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Broad has one zone where he hits it and that's sort of short outside off and just pulls it over mid wicket.
Some bowlers just, they're just so stupid.
Sometimes they frustrate
they
me.
They just have no brains.
All right, I think that concludes our Ashes review, Nico.
Yep.
Should we move on to our One Day Cup preview?
Sure.
Now,
I'm just going to talk a little bit about the format change.
Yes, so there is a bit of a format change. So they're going to play the majority of the matches as usual before the Sheffield Shield season starts, but then they're going to have a break. They're going to have a few Shield games, and then they're going to go back and play the remaining games in two different blocks throughout November and October.
I'm fairly sure it's similar to England's county format as well.
Yes, I think
they also fit in the T20s in somewhere.
Yeah, so that should be good. It'll allow more players to play. And
international players as well.
Yes, and they'll be able to get back for some one-dayers. And they're also not just playing it at two different venues. They're spreading it out a bit more. It's kicking off on Saturday. It's come up pretty quickly, actually. Taking place at the WACA, Western Australia versus the Vics. The reigning champions, the Vics. Yep.
All right, now we're going to go through our predictions of... So, Jimmy, who do you predict to win overall?
I've got WA winning.
Okay.
I think their team's just full of stars. I've got a predicted first 11 for them.
So they actually haven't released a squad yet.
They haven't released a squad, but this is my best 11 for them. Darcy Short, Sean Marsh, Marcus Stoinis, Ashton Turner, Hilton Cartwright or Mitch Marsh can go in there. Josh Phillippe as the wicketkeeper. Ashton Agar, Nathan Coulter-Nile, Jai Richardson, Andrew Tye and Jason Behrendorf, which is just a phenomenal team for an interstate team. They're all proven themselves. They've all proven stars in the Big Bash, and I reckon that they'll be unstoppable at their best, especially with Darcy Short opening the batting, who I've got as my leading run scorer and player of the series.
Interesting. So I have predicted Victoria to win. I reckon they're going to go back-to-back.
All right.
See,
I haven't gone with Victoria because I feel like their team's changed a little bit. They've gone with a younger side. A little bit more inexperienced, and I don't think they'll be able to stand up.
But they do have that experience of, because they got Finch back.
They do have Finch. That is a big in for them.
Yeah. And Maxwell.
Maxwell's playing.
And Hanscom's going to be their captain. So I feel like those three are fairly decent leaders, and I feel like.
But they may rely on them a lot, because otherwise they don't have a lot of depth in the squad.
But with our bowling attack, we've also got Tremaine, Scott Boland, and John Holland,
who have proven themselves to be better with the red ball. They haven't been as good with the white ball, so we'll see how they go.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how the Vics go with a new look squad.
Yeah, and who do you have as your runner up, Jimmy?
Runner up, I had the Vics. I think that they have exceeded expectations in previous years, and I think they can do it again. Especially if got young guys like Sam Harper, Mackenzie Harvey. Can actually make runs. Even Will Pukowski, hasn't played a lot of one-day cricket, hasn't played in the Big Bash before.
I actually have him as my surprise package, because I feel like he played a couple of tour matches, and they were one-days, and he actually made a fair few runs at the top of the order. Okay. So.
My surprise package, I have Nick Burtis from New South Wales. Bit of an unknown, but
never heard of him.
Didn't think he would have. Nah. But again, New South Wales, like Victoria, has played a few tour matches, and he's made a few runs. He's been in the Shield team a few times, and I reckon he can do some damage.
Interesting. So I have my runner-up as New South Wales, because I reckon they're going to have, they might have like Smith, Warner, and
if they play though.
Yeah, and the rest of the Australian team, because all the Australian teams are pretty much New South Wales.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Leading wicket taker, who did you have, Nico?
I had Chris Tremaine, just because he's a Victorian, and I feel like he can stand up for Victoria.
Yeah, I had Sean Abbott.
Sean Abbott's not a bad one. He seems to...
He does. He gets a lot of wickets in the Big Bash, and I think he's very good with the white ball, so I had him in there.
Yeah. And my run scorer I actually have is Alex Carey. I feel like Alex Carey's... I feel like he's going to be a pretty... regular performer for South Australia.
We'll be relying on a few players, I think, because their depth isn't fantastic. So they've sort of got him. Weatherald, when he's playing well, is a good bat. Travis Head will probably come back and play.
Yeah, I think he's missing the first couple
of games. Yeah, he'll miss maybe half of the tournament. Zampa is good bowler, but he won't be able to carry their bowling attack. They got Kane Richardson.
Joe Manny.
Still not a front line fast bowler.
I don't expect them to go too far in this competition, to be honest.
Tasmania, I can't see them doing too much damage. Unless they get Matthew Wade back early. I can't see them doing too much with the depth that they've got, or lack of depth. Really.
What about Queensland? Because
Queensland have a good team, which I like, although I feel like it is changing a little bit. A lot of their players are on international duty, so it'll be interesting to see how they go. But overall, I think I'm excited for the one-day series.
Me too.
Or the one-day cup this year.
Although they're not going to have Chris Lynn, Queensland, are they? So
no.
Missing that firepower.
Yeah, he did score a lot of runs last year.
I think he got the most runs in the overall.
Yeah, so that is a big loss for them.
Yeah.
All right, that wraps up our preview for the one-day cup.
Yeah.
And I think we'll finish this podcast off with our big call for this week. And I think we had the same big call. Peter Siddle has played his last test match.
Yeah.
I think he's...
I said that he won't play in the Australian summer. But, especially for Australia in the Australian summer. Yeah. But, yeah, I can get on board with Siddle as players.
Yeah, I think Australian selectors should be looking to newer options.
Yeah.
We've got very good fast bowling depth, and I think Siddle's going to be pushed out the door, especially because of his age. And
we also got a lot of slower bowlers like Mitch Marsh. Mitch Marsh was a bit annoying with the bat, but he did perform with the ball in the first innings.
Yeah, I think a lot of Australians, certainly me, I woke up
and we're
just a nice Wednesday morning or whatever it was. Look at my phone. Mitch Marsh has been selected, and I think I just screamed. I don't know. I can't remember what I did. I
think you texted me, and you're like, "What's the actual?"
Yeah.
And I was the same, and I'm like, "Oh no way."
Not again. Because he hasn't really done anything to deserve his spot at all, other than he's performed okay in the tour matches, but
when he wants to.
He's had so many opportunities and failed so many times. I mean, I know he made a double ton when England were over here last time, but
at the Wacker or Perth Stadium.
Oh, England were cooked by that stage, and
on a flat track.
He did surprise a lot of people. He swung the ball for the first time in his career. Got some reverse swing and looked in better control than he ever has with his bowling. But as usual, just let us down with the bat. So I think he really needs to justify his selection as an all-rounder with performances with both bat and ball.
And that's probably why Peter Siddle will probably get dumped, because he'll probably go behind someone who can bat as well.
I think with Pattinson coming back into the fold, that's going to really put his spot in jeopardy. Because I don't think Siddle offers much in Australia. And we're not going over to England anytime soon, so I think that might be his international career over.
Either needs to eat more bananas or actually eat some meat for once, because apparently he's vegan.
So. He is vegan. So. Or he's just a banana vegan, really.
It
doesn't eat much other than bananas.
Yeah. I think he eats like almost 20 a day or something.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
That's just a stupid
amount.
All right.
Alright, thanks session. For listening, and we'll speak to you again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, because Jimmy's going away, so going away to Phillip Island for, I think, the 2 weeks.
Nah, not Phillip Island.
No,
Sunshine Coast.
That's it, Sunshine Coast.
Please don't stalk me.
It's okay, Jimmy, I won't.
Alright, see you later.
See ya.